It's 88.5 KCSN, and this is Sky Daniels as we get going on a Tuesday afternoon, or excuse me, a Wednesday afternoon. I'm losing my days already. But now comes a moment that I've been gleefully awaiting for weeks, and I must, in the spirit of full documentation, I have to let everyone know that there was a point in my life where I worked with and more or less worked for our next guest, right to the point of I pretty much carry the guitars around everywhere for Ms. Ingrid Michaelson. Ingrid, welcome to 88.5 KCSN.
Hi.
It's great to have you back. And you know, it's genuine when I say that, because anytime you know, you get to work alongside an artist and see their dedication to their craft and their real love of music and their real commitment, yes, to this part of it, you know, your profound respect for radio, as a supporter of yours, I know how much your heart's in it, and I really do appreciate you coming by, and certainly am a fan of the music. I have to say at the outset, the new album, I was blown away.
Oh, thank you.
Well, and I wouldn't pander to you about it.
Right.
You know, the production value, the expansiveness of the songwriting, everything about it just showed that you had taken everything that you had built so far to a profoundly great new level. And it's an exciting thing. As someone who was with you towards the beginning, to see you take these steps now, it's tremendous.
Yeah, thank you. That's very good to hear, because when I was making this record last year, it took me about a year, 9 months. And I really did have this feeling in my heart that I wanted to be a little bolder and bigger and sing out and not be timid, as I think I have been in the past. And so it's nice to hear that that's what you thought.
Well, and you know, you had successfully created a persona, if you will, as, yes, that very intimate, very personal songwriter. And I've even seen, surprisingly, a few people say, wow, you know, now she's aspiring to be bigger and bolder. And I'm going, wait, since when did having grand aspirations become a concern rather than a quality?
I think a lot of people like to discover music, and they don't really enjoy when the artist shifts, and they like keeping them their own little, you know, private entity. So I knew there were going to be some people that complained that there wasn't enough ukulele, and there was, you know, the drums are too loud. But I think on the record, I definitely have some tiny little songs, and I didn't, you know, go crazy. I wanted to keep some of that kind of intimacy, but it's still me, and I don't think it's vastly different from a lot of my other stuff. I just think there's a lot more instrumentation, but it's at the core of it, it's still me.
And you're right. And the you know, we have two governing principles here at KCSN that I think speaks to what we're talking collectively about. You know, with so much definition required, we live in an era of such context and definition. We simply say melody and message. If the song's got both, they're in. So you are, I don't think, capable of creating songs that don't have both melody and message.
That's an awesome thing to say. And I mean, not as a compliment, but in the future, I think I'm going to steal that from you when I'm asked what I like in songs, because it's hard to describe it, but that is a big thing. Yeah, melody and message. That's awesome. Did you make that up?
I did.
That's very good.
I did. And you, I allow you to use it as if it's yours. Co-opt it as you will. So speaking of melody and message, I see Allie's here too, that is going to provide some great melody and harmonies.
Yes.
Why don't you give us a taste of something that you feel you want to play for this audience in quite intimate form?
Yes, it's just me and Allie, Miss Allie Moss, joining me. We're going to do a song called Blood Brothers. You ready? Mm-hmm. 1, 2, 3.
If you know me, would you save that seat
for me. If you know me, would you finally let me free? We're all blood, we're all blood, blood, blood. We're all blood, blood, we're all blood, blood, brother. If you love me, would you hold on to my hand? If you love me, would you finally understand?
Okay, that was a gorgeous song, and I certainly think there are a number of gorgeous songs on the record. One thing I should basically say to everyone that we are sitting with Ingrid Michaelson and, of course, her cohort and friend, Allie Moss, as they do this performance for us of songs that come from Human Again. I have to ask the question because I really think it speaks to some of the things we just mentioned, the evolution of the sound. How, in fact, did you come to work with David Kahn, a producer who's made, you know, tons of great records through the years? But I really think David raised his game in this collaboration with you. How did that all come about?
Well, my label, Cabin 24 Records, when we release a record, we do a joint venture with different labels. So this time around, we're with a label called Mom and Pop Records, and they introduced us to him, and he came to see one of my live shows, and he bought some of my records, and I had a meeting with him in December of last year, and or 2 years, 2010, and he said, I got your records, and I thought, she's got a really pretty voice and nice songs, and then I saw you live, and I was blown away, and I just wonder, why don't you want to capture that on your records? And that got me thinking, and that inspired me, and I basically wrote the entire record last year and recorded it. And so, yeah, he definitely was a huge influence in the way the song has turned out, not just production-wise, obviously, but melodically and lyrically, the songs themselves.
Well, and it also, you know, one of the things that I saw with my own eyes when we were on the road together is the passion that is in all of the performances. And by all the performances, I mean performances as small and intimate as this.
Yeah.
You know, basically playing for my mug as well as going into big halls and playing in sold-out theaters, the passion is always in the songs. And that passion, I believe, has been complemented and elevated in the production values of these records. I mean, it's big. Yeah. As big as your natural passion on stage is, I think it comes across in this record.
Thank you. Wow, I like you. Huh. You're just basically saying all the things that I hoped people would say. So, yeah, that's exactly what I was going for. Yeah.
Well, and I dare say you've accomplished it, and it's not just my, you know, as you kids like to say in your texting, I am H-O. The reality is that the album came out last week, number one on iTunes, number five selling album. Clearly, a lot of people are in the, quote, marketplace, which I don't like that term whatsoever. Right. Real fans of music are responding very favorably to it. So I think you've done great work. And now we get to go back and hear just you and Allie show us the true essential heart that goes into all of your songs. Which one would you like to play for the audience today?
We're going to play Ghost.
Ooh, I love this song. It's Ingrid Michaelson on 88.5 KCSN.
Do you remember when the walls fell? Do you remember the sound that the door made when you closed it on me? Do you know that I went down to the ground, landed on both my broken heart and knees? I didn't even cry. Those pieces of me had already died. I'm a ghost haunting these halls, climbing up walls that I never knew.
You take the breath all away from me, you take it away. make me a ghost.
The first time I heard that song, I was just blown away. And, you know, I continue every, you know, this is one of the things about being back on the radio side. When you sit in the studio every day and you hear songs, you know, more than once, when you hear them in consecutive listens, you really start to either, one, fall more in love with them, or two, start to question their durability and whether or not you really like them. And that is a song that every time I play it, I get more and more emotionally attached to it. And your rendition today just totally affirmed that.
Oh, thanks. It is such a sad song to play. So it's most of my songs that have been at radio and that we've had to sing over and over again at promo tours have been, if they're melancholy, they've got a happy kind of upbeat melody, and so they're generally on a somewhat positive note to sing. So you do it over and over again, and it doesn't really affect your mood. But this song we have to do over and over again, and it's so sad. And
yeah.
It's just, but you know, I wanted to write a sad song, so I guess I accomplished that.
It's funny that you mentioned that fact. Yesterday, Nick Harcourt, who works at the station with us, interviewed James Mercer from The Shins. And he actually was talking about, he acted, a friend of his directed an indie film and actually gave him a role. And he realized that how draining a serious role is in its performance, and that if he was doing something on stage, i.e. Broadway, like he said, he couldn't imagine how actors inhabit that role and the emotional toll it takes on them. Ergo, in this case, the performance of this song recalls all the emotions that went into it, and it's not a rote performance. It, whatever inspired you to do it the first time, some of it you get, I'm sure, in check, but some of it starts to strike to the core, right?
Yeah, and it's also, I love to sing so much, and for me, a lot of my music, I focus on the words, I suppose, but it's more of a tonal thing, and how the sounds are coming out of my throat. It's a very strange, I can't quite describe it, but I don't really sit and think about where I was when I wrote it, or sit, oh, I'm mad at him, you know. I don't have that moment. It's more of a, I'm trying to interpret the feeling of the song through sounds, and the sounds make up the words. That sounds really, like,
well, but it's evocative.
Strange,
you know, you're trying to be evocative.
Yeah, and in turn, it makes you feel something. I think it's like crying. It's just like, it's almost like a cry. Like, it's this, you can start, you know, or laugh. Like, you can start fake laughing, and you're going to end up really laughing. And you can fake cry, and maybe, you know, I feel like if you, not that I'm faking it, I can't explain it, but if you sort of, it's just this, I make this sound when I sing that just reminds me of either something happy or sad, but it's not a specific thing. It's, well, so I can't explain what it's like to
sing. No, but once you enter into that association you had with conceiving that song, yeah, you don't shed it the minute.
No.
We always joke here that we allow every song in the live performances to go to the full end of their sustain. And your feelings and your connection to it, they continue to go on past the sustain itself.
Yeah.
They're still there. You just don't say, okay, yeah, close the keyboard, you know, now I'm done.
You got to do a happy song to kind of combat the sadness.
Now, let's talk a little bit about the artwork on the album. Because, see, one of the things I still like is you know, I'm tactile. And I also am a visual person. And this is an extraordinarily great and artistic front cover on Human Again. And I really think it just speaks exactly to what you just said. You know, that getting inside yourself and touching and then trying to have that evocative feeling. And that comes across in this front artwork. But when I first received the promo single and the picture of you that accompanied it, va va voom.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like, wow. Yeah. That was a gorgeous, if you don't mind my being,
No, I don't mind it.
You know, the basic guy that I am and that you know and kind of tolerate. I mean, it was stunning. It was a beautiful picture. Who took that picture of you?
That was my dear friend Deborah Lopez, who's a great photographer. She actually, the song we just did, Ghost, she and I did a lyric video for it where she took all the photographs of different words on my body, the lyrics of the song, and we pieced it together. Another friend of mine, Dylan, he edited it, but she's a really great photographer, and she's done a lot of my press shots in the past. And that was during the lyric video, because I had the word ghost written across the top of my chest. And so we just did a couple of stills or a couple of shots just for fun that didn't have to do with the video. And that was one of them that we really liked. And so we used that as the promo for the song.
And it also showed, you know, not only was it a beautiful rendering of you, and you are a very pretty woman, but it also showed that your wheels were turning. And I caught that in the picture. So it wasn't all just my, you know, being a guy thing.
Yeah, right. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. I believe you.
Well, that was my initial response. You know, and then I consider the other things. You know, I still have a pulse.
Right.
Now, there's a couple of facts that Lynn, your manager, and my good friend, let me know that I get excited about. And it probably... You know, it lets us know, because it's been a couple of years since we worked together. And when we worked together, you were selling out the El Rey Theater.
Right.
And now, here it is a short time later, you're going across the street to the Big Room. And on April 27th, you've almost sold out already the Wiltern Theater, which has to feel great to you, coming to Los Angeles and knowing...
Yeah,
a couple of months in advance of the show, it's almost. And for those of you who are fans of Ingrid, that almost matters, because you don't want to wait. You want to make sure you're there. But it's got to feel great knowing that you know that's indicative of the career is on the rise. Yes.
Yeah, the whole tour actually is selling. We've sold out like a third of the dates, and like you said, it's not until April and May. So that's never happened before. I think it's because I was off the road for a year, and then I have a new record coming out, and so I don't know what's going on, but I'm really excited, and I get very nervous about ticket counts, because I'm always afraid that no one's going to ever show up. But now I can pretty much relax, because I know that they're all going to sell out, and now we can just focus on making the shows really great. We're going to have, you know, projections and artwork and really great outfits. We're going to get outfitted in some, I don't know what yet, but we're stepping it up on this tour. And it's good to know that there are going to be people there to see it.
Well, and you know, look, I couldn't be happier for you on that front. And now, speaking to fans who've always been there for you and who really, you know, are your core, dedicated, loyal fans, they're going to want to know about the fact that you're going to perform on this Saturday at the Barnes & Noble at the Grove at 5 p.m. It's going to be a signing and performance.
Yes.
And to speak to the newfound excitement around this new tour, they're encouraging you fans who want to see this very intimate performance at the Barnes & Noble at the Grove this Saturday at 5 p.m. to come as early as 9 a.m. to secure wristbands.
That's crazy talk.
Well, you know, but again, listen. I mean, if Lynn had anything to do with it, that just gives her a good excuse to go shopping the rest of the day.
Yeah,
so there's that's built into it, too, we know. But I think that's great. It just shows that there is a lot. Look,
we'll see. We'll see who shows up, and then we'll
listen, these are your real fans, the core fans that have believed in you since day one.
Yeah.
This is an opportunity for them to see you in the most intimate of settings. So I'm sure if they know, hey, we got to get there early, they'll get there early to get their wristband. And we've given them due notice.
Yes, that's true.
So now they know. Now, there's a couple other things before we let you do this next song that are pretty nice. I think they're cool things. You've always been well received on the television bases in the proverbial sink world. As a matter of fact, you know, we all know that the Old Navy spot brought a lot of positive attention to you and helped ignite a national discovery. You're going to have a song on the Grey's Anatomy show tomorrow night. We're not going to let anyone know what it is. They have to tune in and watch, because it's blended into the fabric of the show. That's always a great thing.
Yeah, they're very supportive of me over there. Alex Potsavas and Chop Shop, that's her company. They placed my music pretty much before anybody else did, and even before that commercial. And so whenever they use one of my songs, it's just they're very generous and kind over there. And and it seems that they genuinely like to bring new music into the forefront, or not just rely on, you know, on mainstream well-known artists. So yeah, I'm very thankful to them. But yeah, tune in tomorrow night.
Well, and it's something that the music supervisors of today really do try to hear songs and find opportunities where they're going to resonate, where those songs are going to add an emotional resonance to the scenes. So it really is, you know, I'm envious. You know, in radio, you know, at least here on the non-com side, we're not caught up in the ratings thing, but a lot of radio programmers program the ratings, whereas they program to the hearts and minds, and it's really a great thing. You can get a free download. Free is always great. Free download of an Ingrid Michaelson song by signing up on your mailing list at ingridmichaelson.com. And that's the last bit of, you know, housekeeping, as we'll call it, or, you know, shilling, maybe is another word. Why don't you perform a final song for us that, you know, really strikes you as something that's in your soul right now?
Well, we're going to do, you mentioned the Old Navy commercial and the song called The Way I Am. And I've played this song and sang this song more times than I could ever count. But it was very important to me, and it was the springboard for most everything. So we're going to do that one for you.
Oh, perfect.
The Way I Am.
If you were falling, then I would catch you. If you need a light, then I'd find a match. 'Cause I love the way you say good morning, and you take me the way I am. If you are chilly, and here, take my sweater. If your head is aching, then I'll make it better. 'Cause I love the way you call me baby, and you take me the way I am. I'll buy you Rogaine when you start losing all your hair. I'll sew on patches to all you tear. 'Cause I love you more than I could ever promise, and you take me the way I am. Oh, you take me the way I am. You take me the way I am.
It's Ingrid Michaelson on 88.5 KCSN. The expressiveness in your voice in that rendition shows me that the song really does hold real meaning for you. And it also shows the fact that even though, yes, it's become the, quote, obligatory song, you just delivered it with such, you know, true vulnerability that, you know, that wasn't wrote by any stretch of the word.
I find that in songs that you sing over and over again, it's the best thing is to not sing them the same way as they were written, or the same way you did them 5 months ago. Or it's, you have to find, at least for me, to keep it authentic, you have to find different ways to shape the sounds, you know. And so that's what happened with that one. It's definitely sounds different to me than when I used to, when I first started performing it.
Well, it certainly does also speak to the fact that your confidence in your voice is truly there, and I can hear the growth in that confidence that you would commit as much as you did in that rendition to a performance like this, albeit you have made the trek to the new music mecca of our day, a.k.a. Northridge, CA. So it is a pretty big platform that you were performing on today. I mean, it's not quite Carnegie Hall, but it's a close second, so we are glad to have you and Allie. Thank you both for coming by. I know you're entering the whirlwind phase of getting the new album, Human Again, known to the marketplace, and a lot of activity in terms of TV performances and other things that go with it. So we appreciate it with great sincerity that you came by and performed for us and our audience here at KCSN.
Well, thank you. And you have a very lovely studio, so this has just been a pleasure. Thank you.
Well, and one thing to that note, knowing that you still reside in Brooklyn, as you can see by the size of the Air Studio, I have what basically would be probably a $2,000 studio apartment on that side of the room. If ever you need a place to crash, you can bring a futon, and it'll seem like a quite airy and bright space,
yeah,
as
beautiful.
The realtors in Brooklyn would say to you. So you're welcome to crash here if ever you need a place to.
Thanks.
All right, everybody. It's 88.5 KCSN, a wonderfully intimate performance with the great Ingrid Michaelson, and we thank her for coming. And